We find in the beginning of the parasha something which is a little bit strange. All the Mefarshim noted that after Yaakov requests of Yosef to be buried in the land of Israel, he insists on Yosef taking an oath. But was he skeptical that his son would carry out his wishes? Yosef was, of course, so devoted to Yaakov. He had been providing for him for 17 years in Goshen. So why is Yaakov so insistent? He shavali, and Yosef ends up taking a shavua. So the Ramban says, basically, Ezu chacham haroa sanolad. The Ramban says he wasn't doing it because he mistrusted Yosef. He was doing it for the opposite reason, that he didn't trust Paro. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos says, the name of Gamliel ben Osho Rabbi Yehuda Anasi Hevu Zehirin Birishus. You have to be careful with the government. Doesn't mean that you're enemies, but you have to go in with your eyes open. She'en mekarvin alo adam elo latzor echatzman, nirin ka'ovin b'shas hana'asan. They always seem like your best friends when they think they can get something from you. You could save them from a famine. But once they get what they need, so all of a sudden they don't remember you so well. Yeah, I think I worked with that person, and all of a sudden the relationship isn't the same. Everybody wants to know in the beginning of Sefer Shmos, how is it possible? So suddenly they forgot Yosef? It wasn't so sudden. All you have to do is read this week's Sedra, and you'll see that after the years of famine, so Yosef's power waned almost immediately, and the proof is in the psukim themselves. When Yosef has to fulfill his father's promise, his father's oath to his father, so you see that Yosef doesn't even get an audience with Paro. Could you imagine the person who was ruling Egypt, and just a little while before, Paro told all of Egypt, the Chuel Yosef, don't even talk to me, you're wasting your time. Go to Yosef, he's in charge. Al picha yishakol ami. And now when Yosef has to bury his father, what do the psukim say? That Yosef practically has to beg, and he has to beg a messenger. Dabru nabi asnei paro lemor avi hishbian. You have to understand, please go speak to Paro. I took an oath to my father. And Paro's response is very telling. Alei ukivores avicha kasher hishbiacha. You know why I'm letting you go, Yosef? Because I probably wouldn't let you go. But kasher hishbiacha, you took a shavua to your father. At least I could respect that shavua. So we have to keep in mind the chronology here, that when Yaakov came down to Mitzrayim, Yosef was 39 years old. He's there for 17 years. So if Yosef is 56, he lives to 110. The last 54 years of Yosef's life, he was essentially out of power. It's not just a surprise. Vayakov melech hadash al Mitzrayim, asher lo yada'as Yosef, that once the Egyptians extracted from Yosef what they needed from him, all of a sudden, you know, it wasn't that important. And even a relatively minor request to be able to take a week off and to go and bury his father, where his father had requested to be buried, becomes a major episode, and it's only really because of the Shavua. So Yaakov understood all of this in advance. So the beginning of the parasha, when he says, "He shavali vayishavalo," it wasn't a skepticism about Yosef. It was a deep understanding of human psychology and the nature of power, that Yaakov understood that the reason that Yosef was elevated to such a position in Mitzrayim is he could do something for them. Very important. He could save them from the famine. But Yaakov understood very well that for Yosef to be able to carry out this wish, he would need additional ammunition. And that's the nature of the Shavua. And that was the Chachma of Yaakov Avinu, Ezehu Chacham Haroes Hanolad, to understand and to appreciate what Chazal would tell us so many years and centuries later, have Uzihirin Birishus and Mikarvin Ola Adam Elatzerech Atzman, Nirin Ka'avin Bishas Hana Asan, Ve'in Omdim Ola Adam Bishas Dacha.